Hey guys, welcome to the podcast episode. Rian here, your honest IT advisor at IP Dimension. And today's podcast will be about WhatsApp and their terms of use. And I'm going to try and put your mind at ease a bit. So stick with me and let's get right into it. Let's talk WhatsApp terms of use. I know, this might be a bit after the fact, and I might be a bit behind schedule here, but WhatsApp announced that they've extended the acceptance of either use it or lose it terms of use, and they are stating that this is due to the fact that they're making a change to the business use rules. And that there's a lot of confusion and conspiracy theories and the like. And that's why WhatsApp said they're going to extend the cutoff period from the 8th of February 2021 up to the 15th of May 2021. Surprised? Nah, I'm not surprised. So WhatsApp claims that they've postponed this due to the confusion that it's caused amongst people. I'm of the opinion they've postponed this acceptance of terms of use purely because 30 million people sacked WhatsApp and moved to Telegram. And the number one reason why they changed their terms of use was to move towards targeted marketing, or so they say. But if you have nobody to market to, then you're kind of missing the point, aren't you, WhatsApp? Okay, so let's talk a bit further about this. So there's a lot of people who moved to Telegram because they're concerned about their private data being shared. Remember now the rumors went that WhatsApp will share all of your messages and your chats, and it's going to be shared on Facebook, and people are going to see what you're browsing and blah, blah, and the like, and that's not the case. So they will share your contacts with Facebook if you allow them to do so. Let's talk about why Facebook. So WhatsApp is owned by Facebook. And this social media giant bought WhatsApp in February 2014. It was a small transaction, just a small price tag of $16 billion. And the reason for the purchase was because Mr. Zuckerberg, owner of Facebook, had a vision of being the leading social media provider. And when I say social media provider, this includes messaging. So at that stage in 2014, WhatsApp was at a rapid growth spurt, and Mark was well aware of this. So the next best choice in beating WhatsApp was buying WhatsApp, and that's exactly what he did. So they've been in business since, and I think that was in February 2014, they announced that they're going to purchase it, and the actual sale went through in September, if I'm not mistaken. But if you think about this, this is now, what, almost 7 years later, and we've been using WhatsApp and Facebook. If you think about this time that's passed, have you noticed any of your messages that you send on WhatsApp being shared on Facebook or vice versa? So there was no risk involved. I don't see why there would be any risk involved now. Sure, you're giving them permission to share your contacts, but that's for targeted marketing. Remember, the whole world is about sales and advertising. So the intent for sharing your contacts and looking at what you're doing is to get targeted marketing to you. They want to establish trends within the market and make sure that you get to what you want or what you want to buy faster and easier and get the best available options. There's a lot of money in marketing. So that's the major intent. So let's talk about the application in general, if we talk about apps being downloaded. So there's a couple of things we need to remember when we talk about applications. And the first thing is that when we download an application, we tend to go for a free version, right? That's human nature, let's face it. So why pay for something if the free version works just as well as the paid version? So here's the catch to that. Although there is no monetary payment for the app that's being downloaded, we are paying for the app through monitoring of our trends. What does this mean? So the app developer takes notes of things like when we use the app, what time of day we use the app, for how long do we use the app, what's the amount of time that we spend on the app, what apps have we visited before we use the app, and what apps do we usually navigate to after we use the app. Do we react to advertising in the app? Do we click on links within the app? All sorts of statistics, I could call it that. When we talk about the WhatsApp privacy, that's pretty much all that they are allowed to collect. Let's face it, in 7 years, if there's something that they don't know about us yet, then they don't want to know about it. Okay, so WhatsApp states that messages between senders and receivers are encrypted. Okay, you've seen this when you type a new WhatsApp to a new contact. There's a message that pops up immediately that says end-to-end encryption is applied, and that makes this message safe. So what does that mean? It means that the message can only be decrypted or read by the sender and the intended recipient. So even if that message is intercepted in between sender and receiver, it means that it's going to be a bunch of jargon. It's going to be scrambled, you know, numbers and letters and phrases and stuff that makes no sense to nobody. If you don't have that decryption key, then you won't be able to decrypt it. And that encryption is done on the phone. It's not done on WhatsApp side. It's done on the phone. Right. So they've also introduced the option of disappearing messages, which allows you to select messages not to be stored on your device after sending them. So messages are never stored at WhatsApp or Facebook or any other entity other than the sender or the receiver of the message. WhatsApp is simply the medium that's used to transmit this message. So your messages to your lover or your scallopy or whoever you're sending it through, they are going to remain private. I have to quote Prof. Henri Bierman here, that WhatsApp should not be your primary means of messaging your scallopy. try not to do that, point number one. And point number two, try not to do that on WhatsApp, okay? Or any other social media platforms for that matter, okay? And then there's the aspect of validity. So what would WhatsApp gain from reading your messages? If you shared government secrets or COVID-19 antidote formulas, I'm pretty sure that you're not going to use WhatsApp to convey them. You also need to consider that what they don't know about us, they don't want to know. Okay, so there was this joke that was doing the rounds recently that said, you needn't worry about WhatsApp collecting your data because your vacuum cleaner has been collecting dirt on you for years. And I kind of tend to agree with that. If there's no interest, look, I don't think they're interested in the football club, local school group, or anything like that. It's simply not relevant to them. So if we look at the other messaging options that people seem to flock to, apps such as Telegram or Signal comes up first. Now, Telegram recently reported that they gained 30 million new subscribers using their app. Now, this is impressive by any means and standards. Okay, so 30 million new subscribers. Signal, on the other hand, reported a 17.8 million download figure during the week of 5 to 12 January in 2021. That's massive. Okay, considering that there are a couple of billion users making use of WhatsApp, it's not really a big knock on their figures, but it is massive in the greater picture. So I have to ask the question as to who did their homework with regards to security behind these apps. Allow me to share some information with you. I sat down and I typed into Google, into a search engine, recent hacks in Signal and recent hacks in Telegram. And it took me all but about 20 seconds to come up with a list of stuff. So I know not all information on Google can be trusted and not all of it is true. But when reputable companies such as Forbes reports on happenings, I generally tend to believe it. So allow me to read from one of those articles and let's focus on Telegram first. So the article reads, hackers breached Telegram, email accounts of 20 Israeli crypto execs exposed. Okay, and the report goes on by saying, hackers targeted approximately 20 Israeli cryptocurrency executives in early September. This was in 2020, okay, so a year back. Demanding payments of digital currency after hacking into their phones and stealing their identities. Israeli news source Haaretz reported that the cyber attack, which ultimately did not result in any lost funds, may have been carried out by a state-sponsored team. Dun, dun, dun. Okay, conspiracy theory. According to Haaretz, the failed attack also involved a major telecoms company, a cybersecurity firm called Pandora. Does Pandora ring any bells? Yeah, I think we heard about that before. And perhaps the Israeli Shin Bet, the Israeli Internal Security Service, that's also known as the Israeli Security Agency, Mossad, and Israel's National Cybersecurity Authority, were additionally involved in the investigation. Okay, so did you hear that? Is Liam Neeson here around the corner somewhere? Somebody mentioned Mossad. Okay. Yeah. So many of the executives had their Telegram apps hacked. Others had their Gmail and Yahoo mail accounts breached. So from this, we can derive that the hack was not limited to Telegram itself. Personal information was gained that allowed the hackers access to email accounts mentioned here, Gmail and Yahoo. So for our users of Signal, you're not off the hook. Listen to this. And this came up in a 10-second search on Google. Again, Signal Messenger eavesdropping exploit confirmed. And this was reported by Forbes. So on January 29, this is Davey Winder, the writer for Forbes, reported how iPhone users were exposed to a FaceTime eavesdropping exploit. That exploit enabled an attacker to listen to FaceTime users by calling the target, even if they didn't pick up the call. In something of a deja vu moment, it has now been confirmed that a similar call not completed exploit could be used to listen in on Android users of the secure Signal Messenger app. Here's everything you need to know. And then they go on by saying, how did the Signal eavesdropping exploit work? Probably the most important thing you need to know there is that there's a security engineer, Natalie Silvanovich, from Google's vulnerability research team called Project Zero. Now, she disclosed how a bug in the Android Signal client could let an attacker spy on a user without their knowledge. In a similar fashion to that FaceTime vulnerability that was reported on at the start of last year, an attacker would call the victim and initiate an auto-answer, with the user accepting the call. They go on by saying that the bug allowed a hacker to phone a target device and the call would be answered without the recipient needing to accept the call, essentially letting the hacker listen in on the victim. When the call is ringing, the audio mute button can be pressed to force the callee device to connect. And audio from the callee device will be audible. So by pressing the mute button quickly enough, the attacker could reduce the chances of the victim being aware that a call was even made. Unlike that FaceTime exploit, however, Silvanovich said that only audio could be spied upon as, and I quote, the user needs to manually enable video in all calls, quote unquote. This begs the question, so if video is enabled, will that be accessible too? This might be a bit more alarming than a leaked WhatsApp message, don't you think? Oh, I think so, definitely. This is but two examples of security breaches in the alternatives to WhatsApp. So don't get me wrong here. When you Google for security breaches in WhatsApp, there is no lack of evidence there. Just think about the fake WhatsApp application update messages you've received. So they are by no means safer than any other messaging app. The point I want to make here is do your homework when deciding to move away from WhatsApp. Is it a case of rather the devil you know than the devil you don't? It remains to be seen, and only you can decide that. So why then would you move away from WhatsApp? There's a simple answer to this, and it speaks to business owners. So businesses need to be very careful when using WhatsApp for business. Using the app for business has a complete different set of terms and conditions. And part of these terms and conditions allows WhatsApp to gain access to all contacts stored on your device. So it's not limited to contacts that make use of WhatsApp, it's all contacts. And that's in direct violation of the POPI Act. And business owners needs to take note of this. So get your CIO involved, get that person to read the terms and conditions of business use for WhatsApp for business. So WhatsApp subsequently said that they have updated their terms of use for business accounts to clearly indicate their intent and to give transparency in this regard. So they want to open up their terms and conditions so that business owners get peace of mind when accepting the terms of use. And that's their reported reason for extending the time period that you have to either accept or reject the terms of use for WhatsApp. So as a business owner or a CIO, please make sure that you understand the terms and act accordingly. Thanks for listening. So please drop me an email at podcast@ipdimension.co.za and share your opinion with me. I would love to hear your insights on the conspiracy theory that's WhatsApp. And look out for those sources of the articles that I read within this podcast, and I'll post them in the body of the podcast message. I'd like to leave you with this thought. Imagine a place where someone could find your name, your surname, your telephone number, and even your street address. It's called a telephone directory.